All right, then turn in your Bibles to Colossians. Send the little ones back to junior church. We've talked about New Year's resolutions. We've talked about goals, talked about things that you want to achieve in the new year, things you like to get done this year. Do you ever think about what God's goal is for your life? What do you think His goal is? We've talked about our goals and our resolutions and things we'd like to see in our new year, but what about what does God expect? What does He expect? What's He want to do with your life? We have to figure out a goal. Then after we have a goal, we have to take some steps to achieve that. We know it. We know that this is true in anything you want to do, whether you want to do something new in business, if you have a new business venture. How about physical fitness? Boy, every year this time, and always January and February, there's always fitness. There's always diet foods and all kinds of advertisements that have to do with dieting and exercise. Personal finance. There's goals and steps you have to take to achieve that. Pretty much any kind of field that you enter into, you have to make steps to achieve that. So what about our lives? What about our Christian lives? You see, God's at work in our lives, but we also have a responsibility that we need to grow in Christ. So, Pastor, what's the balance here? We know God's working in us, and what's the balance? What part of it is ours? Well, Colossians chapter 3 will help us. Paul said, as those who have been chosen of God, and he's talking about his church, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against someone, as the Lord has forgiven you, you should also do the same. And then beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Now that sounds like a pretty tall order, doesn't it? Wow. These are the qualities that God is looking for us in our lives. It's what He is committed to trying to accomplish in our lives. And to many, it might sound like really quite a challenge. But I believe there is really one quality in this whole list. I believe it's one foundational quality that if you have that, all the rest of them will fall in place. Did anybody pick up what that one quality is? Now, I looked at that and thought the one quality was love. But I missed it. It's humility. Humility. So what is humility? Can somebody give me an explanation of what humility is? Can you explain to me what humility is? Anyone? What is it? You know, I remember a song, and I can't tell you who sang it. But it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. Now, somebody that sang, I don't like spiders and snakes. What's that? Putting everybody else on a higher level than yourself. I've heard that as being the definition of joy. If you want joy, you have to do what? Who's first? Jesus? Others? And yourself. There you go. Jesus, others, and yourself if you want joy. Humility. An attitude of total dependence on the Lord. And recognition that we are His servants, and He is our Lord. And when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, humility. If you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be great, be a servant. Think about that. It's the mindset that puts Jesus first. You see, our tendency is to protect and promote ourselves. It's something that we can't muster in our own strength, humility. God develops it within us as we submit to Him. We should pursue a humble spirit. And we must realize that if we'll ever look back and say, I finally arrived, I am now humble. Guess what? You lost it. You're not humble. If you actually think you reached a point where you're humble, you lost it. No. Huh. So, humbleness is a lifelong pursuit. How's that? We're going to spend a lifetime trying to be humble. A lifetime. It isn't something you would just get, boom, I'm humble. Don't work that way. Doesn't work that way. No. Doesn't work that way. Huh. I shook hands with our guitar player that came, Richard Kaiser. When I first met him, I think it was out at the Grove in Richfield. I shook hands with him. I want to shake hands with you. I said, now I want you to impart that gift of guitar playing right through here, right through here. Don't work that way. It don't work that way. Boy, would be neat if it would, but it doesn't work that way. Some people are just so gifted at so many things, but they work and they work hard at it. They have difficult times in their life when they're doing it. It just doesn't come easy. But humility, I believe, is essential. If we're going to follow Christ, I believe it's essential. The first thing I want to mention about humility is that there is no salvation apart from it. When we come to Jesus, we have to come to Him with a sense of sorrow, recognizing that our sins have separated us from Him. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the scripture reference that is? That's repentance. Recognizing, having a sorrow for what we did. What we did, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Today, it seems we don't. There's nobody's sorry for what they've done. Nobody's embarrassed with the terrible things they've done. I have no sorrow for sin today. We need to be sorrowful. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I hurt you, Lord. I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, that I have grieved you. We've lost that sense of being sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry that what I did put you on the cross. I'm sorry. Cry out to Him for mercy. Be merciful to me, Lord. We need to rely totally on His sacrifice. We need to also believe that it is sufficient for our forgiveness. It's impossible to come to Jesus with an arrogant attitude. The second thing I want to call our attention to is we can never walk in a daily fellowship with Christ without a spirit of humility. We have been bought with His precious blood. Elroy mentioned that in our Sunday school lesson. You're not your own. You've been purchased by His precious blood. You know are no longer your own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20. I think I put a note in there that I wanted to read that. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A true disciple is one who submits to Christ, to His right and to His rule, and allow Him to govern our lives in every way. What a privilege it is to be under His authority. We need to be committed to be obedient to Him, even in times of our life when it is very difficult. We still need to be obedient. There was a song that I remember singing as I was growing up. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter he grows. The longer we walk with him, the greater should be our delight in submitting to him. Thirdly, humility is necessary for our sanctification. It's the process where the Holy Spirit works in our lives through the Word of God to transform us into the image of Christ. Jesus described himself as gentle and humble in heart. It's what God desires for us. When we hang on to our pride, the work of the Spirit is grieved and is hindered. He's the one who helps us understand the Scriptures. And when we study the Scriptures will help us to resist sin. We can't even pray effectively if we don't humble ourselves before God and admit that we need his help. That's part of the process. We need to humble ourselves and admit that we need help. You know, our nation needs to be humbled, and admit that we really need God. We need him. We have a stay for 4 years. We may have another additional stay for another 4 years. After 8 years, then what? Then what? The corruption is so deep. So much corruption. We don't know half, not even a third of the quarter of corruption that's going on. It's good that we probably don't. We wouldn't even sleep. The corruption is deep. It's been going on for years. Fourthly, a humble spirit's essential for good relationships. The list that we read as I started the message, all these godly qualities, verses 12 through 14. But if you don't have a humble spirit, you'll never be able to respond to people, to one another, as God desires us to. It's easy for us to focus on our rights. You see, a self-centered person isn't known to be compassionate. A self-centered person is not gentle, is not kind, and is not patient with others. It's easy to lose focus. And those who are self-centered focus on their own rights. They see no need to forgive. They see no need to make an effort to live in unity. They only see it one way. Their way. And the only way we'll be able to live as God desires if we regard one another as being more important than ourselves. You mentioned that. Others need to be more important than ourselves. Have you made others more important than yourself? How many of you feed the birds? I used to shoot at them for target practice. Now, I feed the birds. I'm sitting at the dining room table and I'm just having a cup of coffee to start the day. And I'm just watching the birds. It's interesting to watch them. You know, I can tell a mother bird. How do you tell a mother bird? Does anybody else watch the birds? How do you tell when there's a mother bird? When there's stuff out to eat. The bread's out there, and there's smaller, crumbly pieces there. But you know who the mother is? Which one the mother is? The mother's the one that takes the big chunk of bread and takes off. I know where she's going. She's going to feed it to little mouth. That's the mom. Mom takes care of others before she takes care of herself. Now, you learn that with birds. Couldn't we learn that with humans as well? Huh? If we can see that in God's creation in the animals, couldn't we not see it in humans as well? When I hear the awful things mothers do to their babies, put them in a bag. I heard this the other day in the news. A mother put a baby in a bag and left it out to freeze. Have you heard that one? It's awful. And mother birds know have more sense than some of the human mothers. They always grab that big chunk of bread and take off because I know where they're going. Then I know when they're really getting comfortable around me, when the mothers start bringing their little baby birds to the feeder. They know it's safe there. They know it's okay. And so they start bringing their little ones there. And I watch them. I watch the little ones come. They're not quite as jumpy as the older ones. When you go out there, they just kind of hang around in the feeder. Almost I say, shoot, get out here. We'll put some food in. They're not like the older ones. But they have a sense of safety there. They feel secure. Just so many things. It's just amazing. God's creation is amazing. So many things you can see. I know Petey sees it when he's in the woods. He could tell you stories of God's creation. Just see some wonderful things if you just give me eyes to see, hearts to receive. Give me the eyes. I want to see. I didn't know I was so blind until you came into my life. Wow. Now I can see. I see a lot of things I didn't used to see before. Put others first. Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and daily follow me. Luke 9:23. You see, humility requires this way of thinking. We must direct our thoughts toward God. When we focus on his grace, when we focus on his goodness, when we focus on his love and his mercy, we'll have no reason for pride. We'll have only room for gratitude. You see, as God becomes bigger in our eyes, we will become smaller. And amazingly, we will delight in our smallness, because we feel the safety and the security of belonging to such a great and loving Heavenly Father. Wow. He really does love us so much. If he cared for those birds I watch outside my window so much, how much more are you important to him? How much more? So much more. He loves you so much, more than you ever know. So many things. Just like your children, they can do things that may irritate you sometimes, but I can tell you, like your children, you always love them. You always will love them, always care for them. And that's how our Heavenly Father is. Will we do things that will upset them? Sure. Will we do things to grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, we will. But he's right there, waiting for you to come back. Come back to me. I want to help you. Don't run away from me. Why do we always run away from God? Well, we do things we shouldn't be doing. We want to run away. That's when you want to run to him. When you've done things that are wrong, that's when you want to run to him. I can tell you I learned that early when I was growing up. The easiest and closest place for me to go was to get around my mother and give her a big hug. It was a little hard for her to get a hold of me. When I started hugging her when I was bad, I learned you want to hug mom quick. Boy, that gets things rolling in the right way. And you know what? You need to do that with your Heavenly Father. When you've made some wrong choices in your life, you did things that were wrong, and you know they were wrong. Lord, made another wrong mistake. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to do right. Please forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I want to get it right. Give me another chance at it. And he does. The devil's the one that'll tell you he doesn't. The devil's the one that say, yeah, there you go again. You bad. That seems to be a habit with you. It just seems like you can't break it loose. Why do you want to bother God with it? He don't care about it anyway. That's what the devil would like you to think. But don't you let him talk to you like that. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. He is a liar. God loves you. But please remember that. Bow your heads. I just want to have a prayer with you. We got to do anointing service. Scotty, come. Father, you know I've asked you many times through the week and Saturday night and early Sunday morning, what am I going to share about today? They're your people. You love them. You love them so much more than I think I do. What do you want them to hear today? What do you want to say to them today? Lord, this spoke to my heart today, and I pray it spoke to theirs. Lord, help me to be humble. Help me always to put you first, others second, and always myself last. Hide me behind your cross when I stand in this pulpit. Oh, let them see me. Let them see you. And then, Lord, wherever I go, I want people to see you. I want to reveal you, not me. Let people see you. Let them see the sweetness and goodness and kindness, Lord, in you. Thank you for each and every one of these. Pastor Roger, you spoke to my heart today. I need to be more humble. Would you slip your hand up? I got mine up. His hands going up everywhere. I need to be more humble. Help me, Lord. Boy, they're all over the place. Father, Lord, just you see the hands and you see their hearts and you see their desire to be humble. Father, I pray that you'll help them each and every day. Let your Holy Spirit speak to them each and every day. When this old flesh rears up and wants to be first, Lord, I just pray that we'll learn to crucify this flesh. Learn to put our flesh down and remember that it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's all about you. It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to be humble. Lord, let my light shine. Let your light shine through me. Let your light shine through me to others that they may see the wonderful works of you. Let these hands be your hands. Let these feet be your feet to do, Lord, what you want and desire to do in this world. Among those people who don't know you, may I be a part. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.